Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody. Mike Salmon with you on Gwinnett Business Radio alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Stephen, do you have a joke or a quip or something to start us off with, since you are the resident comedian?
I will tell you my six-year-old's favorite joke of the day. You ready?
Yep.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
I know the answer, but I'm not going to blow it for our guests.
And to hear a six-year-old say it, it's really, really funny.
Some of them are shaking their heads. They don't get it.
Oh, all of them are. But, you know, that's a good joke. You either get it or you don't.
All right. And on that note, Stephen, we have a full house today. We are joined today by Chris Abbey with Van Winkle Construction, Chris Wilson with Fisher Broyles, Lynn Duffy with Citigus Software, and Dave Hansen with Inside Edge Hockey. So we are going to talk to all four of them, and we're going to start with Chris Abbey. Chris, you are with Van Winkle Construction. You're the Business Development Manager. Tell us all about Van Winkle Construction, what you do, and what you do as part of your job.
Van Winkle Construction is a full-service general contractor operating since 1931, which, though I have no way to prove it, I think makes us the oldest general contractor in the metro area.
We'll take your word for it.
Yeah, unless you can prove me wrong. We do several key markets, office buildings, medical office buildings, industrial facilities, churches, and schools and country clubs. And we've done several projects here in Gwinnett, some of which you're familiar with, I think, some of which you live near. And
talk about some of the projects you guys are doing right here in Gwinnett County.
Yeah, we've got two nice ones going on right now. One is the City Hall in Sugar Hill. They're building, we're actually finishing that up. I think they will be in it in early January. We're about to walk away. That's a 30,000 square foot City Hall building for the city of Sugar Hill. There's a parking deck attached to it. The council and the mayor, Mayor Gary Perkle, wanted the building to look like a turn of the last century courthouse. So it's there are entrances on four sides, columns, granite, brick, stone, things like that. The other project that we have going on in Gwinnett right now is actually about a four iron shot from here. It's the John C. Maxwell Center, which is a new campus for the 12 Stone Church, as well as a learning center for the John C. Maxwell Company.
Talk about your company a little bit. In my notes here, you have an amusing anecdote about maybe the owner of the company?
Are you referring to the premiere of Gone with the Wind?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was a previous owner of the company. Van Winkle was started in 1931 by Ed Van Winkle. I don't know exactly the circumstances. It was the Depression. He might have been unemployed at the time, so he decided to start a contracting company. We've been in operation ever since. Now, in our third generation, Ed Van Winkle III is our president day-to-day. But I think what you're referring to is the premiere of Gone with the Wind. That was in at the Lowe's Grand Theater in 1939, and leading up to that, the theater was renovated. Van Winkle did the renovation, and so Ed Van Winkle had worked, I'm told, 3 days nonstop, day and night, getting it ready for the premiere of Gone with the Wind and all the Hollywood stars that would show up. He was seated at the premiere next to Clark Gable. And because he had been awake for 3 days and working very hard, he couldn't last through the movie, and he fell asleep next to Clark Gable during the premiere.
It's not a quick movie. It's a very long movie, Gone with the Wind. So Rip Van Winkle, I mean, wasn't that the character that slept all the time? I mean, is there
good one, Mike? Well done.
Yeah. So is this
borrowing a little bit off of that legend?
So is this a true story, or is this because of the last name? You guys are making this up and, you know, trying to run with it.
It's a true
story. Careful. You're sitting next to an attorney, by the way.
Next to an attorney.
Yeah, be
right.
Careful.
It's a true story. We wouldn't make up anything like that. If we were making it up, he would have done some really exciting things for Clark Gable and everyone else at the premiere.
I guess the other part of that story is, did Clark elbow him a few times to wake him up, or did
Clark? I'm told he did. I'm told he did. He tried to elbow and nudge him and wake him up. Yeah.
Clark might have been snoring himself.
Well, no, probably not.
All right. Van Winkle Construction, Chris, your title is the Business Development Manager. What is it that you do for the company?
Well, it depends on what day of the week it is, but primarily my job is to go out and get new business for us. Find the people who are building and convince them to use us to do it.
How do you do that? Because if there's nothing there right now and somebody wants to build something, how do you know somebody wants to build something? How do you find those people?
Yeah, that's the question I keep trying to answer so I can do my job. There's no secret, no silver bullet. Fortunately, we have a bevy of clients who we now count as repeat clients. That makes my life a lot easier. But we try and stay in touch with architects that do the kind of work we do, and stay in touch with entities that tend to build the things we build, whether that's Lockheed Martin, where we've worked on their campuses in the 1960s, or people like 12 Stone Church, who have now had us back for a second project here in Gwinnett.
Chris, apart from being one of the oldest companies, which obviously leads to reputation, and that's huge when you're talking to new clients, what else sets you apart from some of the other construction companies, especially talking here in Gwinnett County?
A few things. And I will point out, since we have an attorney sitting next to me here, we've been in business 82 years, and we have never once been in litigation with a client.
That's not what the attorney wants to hear.
No, it's not.
We can change that today.
He wants business.
Not only that, but we operate a service business. We're not selling a product, though some people try to buy it that way. It's a service, and the strength of our service is the people that we have. We have a lot of very talented people on our staff, and actually everybody to a person puts the client first. When we go into a job, we do whatever it takes to make sure the job turns out right so the client's happy in the end.
What are and I'm going to avoid the obvious path of let's talk about the slowdown in construction. Let's talk about some
Thank
of
you.
Well, you're welcome. You can pay me later. Well, let's talk about some of the good things going on in construction now. Now that we're in the time that we're in, I'm a business owner looking to expand, looking to do some construction. What are some things, what are some pieces of advice you'd give me? And also, what are some things beyond people and service, what are you guys going to bring to the table as far as completing the job that I should be looking for as a business owner in my construction project?
Okay, well, right now, actually with anybody who has to borrow money to finance a project, it's a pretty good time to do that. Money's cheap. As far as what you should do, choose everybody that you put on your project carefully. It's a marriage. A construction project is a marriage that lasts 14 months, roughly give or take. Some are longer, some are shorter. And so you want to make sure that the people that you are married to for that time are people that you can get along with, that you can trust, and that you can work with. And that's true not just of your general contractor, but your architect as well. In fact, the relationship with the architect lasts even longer because they're there designing something for several months before construction usually starts.
Chris, like Steve, and I won't ask about the construction industry in the past.
Thank
but
you.
How about the future, though? I mean, is there an uptick?
I hope so. I think after November and the election, there was a flurry of activity that we saw. I hope that continues. We're a lagging indicator, so things that would happen now would be things where somebody's getting their financing, getting design completed, things like that. It would be a few months before we're online. So I'm hopeful that 2013 is going to be a better year than we've seen the last couple of years.
We have business leaders who listen to the show, and that's one of the reasons you're here and we're interviewing you. You've seen a lot of projects, and Van Winkle has seen a lot of projects. What are some that have stood out to you? What are some that are your favorites? What are some you'd love to see Van Winkle do more of in the future?
Well, as for my role in business development, one of my favorite projects is Church of the Apostles, which sits right on I-75. Rather than being in a 40-acre field somewhere where no one sees it, I can say that, and everybody's driven past it, everybody knows it. A lot of our other marquee projects, though, are right here in Gwinnett. The 12-stone project in Lawrenceville was a great big 106,000-square-foot building. And we did a lot for that client to help keep that project in budget while it was in design. In fact, we investigated several different framing methods, and that one building has three different framing systems in it in different portions of the building. That's because we analyzed that and came up with a way for them to do that economically. Another marquee project is one that I mentioned a few minutes ago, the City Hall in Sugar Hill, and now the new John C. Maxwell Center. And then other things like Peachtree Ridge Park, also near here where we're sitting right now. That's a great big recreation park. It has sports fields and ADA-compliant walking trails. And
not your standard park. I've been there. My children have actually played there. I'm sure when it started, some people probably looked at it and went, you're going to make a park out of this? You guys did a great job with that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was. I wondered about the site myself. There were some challenges there. There's a huge retaining wall on one end of it. There are no level sites in the Atlanta area, none in Gwinnett. So we had to come in and do a lot of earthwork there, and it is a large site, but it did turn out well. And there are a lot of, ADA swings and things like that. So it really can be used by everybody.
You mentioned some of the projects, and we brought up Peachtree Ridge Park. Are there more challenges with something like that where it's not an actual building per se? It's actually, building-wise, it's smaller as far as an actual structure, but I guess a lot of grading. Are those more difficult projects?
Not really.
Every place has its challenges, I guess.
Every project has challenges of some sorts. With a project like that, we rely heavily on the civil engineers to engineer the site properly. Then we just go out and grade it the way they tell us to.
Chris, as you look to the future, Van Winkle's been a leader. It's been around a long time. Again, that's one of the reasons why you're here talking to us. As you look to the future, how do you see Van Winkle being able to stay on the forefront, being able to stay the leader, continue to keep that record of being the oldest? What are some things you see that you guys need to do, and especially here in Gwinnett County?
Well, the biggest one, and it's something we've done for the 81 years we've been in business, we are going to maintain our size as a medium-sized general contractor. The reason that we are very conscious of that and very protective of that is that where we are now, we're large enough to handle large projects like a $20 million facility. But we're still small enough to provide a lot of customer service and work with the client very closely to make sure we take care of them. And I think that's the thing that's going to carry us forward and actually enable us to hand the company off to Ed Van Winkle IV at some point in time. We're going to maintain our size so that we can really serve the client.
Chris, I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. For folks that are companies that are interested in your services and may have some kind of a build-out in the future, how would they reach you?
Okay, that's great. Several ways to reach me. The best way is through our website, which is www.vanwinkleco.com. That's VanwinkleCo.com. Or they can call me on my cell phone. May I give that out?
Absolutely. If you want to, that's up to you. Sure.
I'm writing it down now.
770-403-3508. And I have an email address, which is chrisabbey, chrisabbey, at vanwinkleco.com.
And Chris, you are guaranteeing here on this show that if somebody invites you to a movie premiere of theirs, you will not fall asleep.
I will not fall asleep. Okay. I can guarantee that.
I just want to make sure and get that out on the air so that everybody remembers that.
Absolutely.
Chris, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, now we move on Gwinnett Business Radio, and joining us is Chris Wilson with Fisher Broyles. And Chris, we've kind of touched upon it already. You're an attorney. Tell us about your firm and what you do.
Well, I'm more of a transaction attorney, not a litigation attorney. I think a lot of times folks, when they hear, oh, somebody's an attorney, they think immediately of some television show where the guys are going into the courtroom and arguing and fighting and that sort of thing, and that's not what I do. Really, lawyers are broken down into kind of two different kinds. You have litigation attorneys and non-litigation attorneys. Litigation attorneys are the guys that you see that they get all the cool television shows and movies made about. What I do, no one makes a television show or movie about, which is pretty much I draft documents and I transact deals, which means companies typically come to me and say, hey, I've got something I need to get documented. Can you help me? And that's pretty much what I do. Now, Fisher Broyles is a full-service law firm. I'm one of the partners there. We've got over 75 partners across the country. We have offices in Palo Alto, Austin, Dallas, Chicago, Charlotte, New York, and I may be forgetting, but that's about where we are. We've got over 75 attorneys who do pretty much a wide variety of what we call full service. It's a full service law firm, which typically means we do what a lot of the big firm law firms do. We don't do sort of the slip and fall situations, the domestic situations. We don't do that sort of stuff. We do more of the transactional stuff. Most of our clients, if not all of our clients, are companies. They come to us with their needs, and then we help them in whatever way that is. Could be on an HR situation, could be an environmental situation, could be a real estate situation, could be a construction situation. Not so much where somebody's suing someone, but more along the lines of if you've got, like, say, a construction lien out there that you need help with, or you need to get paid. Or another way that you might have a situation is when you build those large $30 million projects, you've got to put that in a form of a contract, and we help draft those contracts. So that's kind of what I do and what our firm does.
Can you give us some examples of some deals that you've worked on where you've helped some of your clients?
Sure. I just finished a deal yesterday, actually, which involved, it was a pretty complicated deal where we had one company that was local here. Actually, they're over in Roswell, and they're a very large scaffolding company. They were working on their financing, and so we actually had a four-loan. It was over $40 million in three different countries that we had to sort of work with their bank, which was a large money center bank out of New York. And they had, it was a secured loan, so there was collateral in Australia, in Canada, and the U.S. There was real estate in Canada and the U.S., and we had to put all of that together into a set of documents so that the bank was happy to loan the $40 million and our client was happy so that they got it, but they still had the flexibility to be able to transact their business.
Now, I see that would be a great TV show. What a great plot, you know, to go through that.
It'll watch me on the telephone negotiating covenants and reps and warranties.
A guy parked at a laptop.
Good stuff.
So Chris, because we're checking the TV and we don't see any reality show of transactional lawyers, I'm also guessing most small business owners don't wake up in the morning and go, you know what I need to do today? I need to call a transactional lawyer. You kind of touched on a few different scenarios, but if I'm a small business owner, just kind of your average small business owners, what are some of the top 3 to 5 things that I might just want to file away and go, okay, this might be a reason to call a transactional lawyer?
And you're right. Most small businesses don't have lawyers that they either deal with or that they have sort of at their beck and call. And I do think sometimes folks miss out on that. And most small businesses have an accountant, if not all of them, because nobody wants to do your own taxes. I also think most small companies should have a lawyer, even if they're not using them on a regular basis, at least someone that they can go to, that they trust, that they know. Many things, especially in today's changing regulatory environment, we don't know what's going to happen out of the healthcare changes that are coming. No one really knows. And I think especially if you've got employees, especially if you are providing health insurance for employees, I think that's a world that is going to change very quickly. And having a lawyer that has a background in that, I think that's helpful for a smaller company. Many companies also don't properly document their corporate records. And oftentimes that's fine if you don't need it, if you don't get caught. But at some point, you're going to need to do it, whether it's because you're going to sell the company or because someone has an interest in you know, looking into your situation, or there's a large contract coming up with the government that they might want to look into it. There's a variety of reasons why you need to have your corporate records in place. Most small businesses never do that. That's another example. And then there's other examples, too, where you get into contracts or negotiations with other companies. Maybe you sell widgets and you're getting into a manufacturing contract with someone over in China. Well, that's a contract that ought to be looked at by an attorney because you probably don't know. You may know how to sell widgets, but you don't necessarily know all the details that go into a contract with a company over in China, let's say. There's certain issues, whether it's customs or it's tax related or whatever it might be. And a lot of times people fail to realize that because they think, oh, I can do it. I've never gotten in trouble before. And what I find many, many times is companies operate that way because, well, I haven't been caught. I mean, nothing's ever bad happened to me. So why do I need an old lawyer? Well, it's like insurance, right? Until something bad goes wrong, then all of a sudden I need a lawyer. And I should have documented this deal differently, and now I'm screwed. I can't get my money, or I've got to pay this guy money, and I shouldn't have to. That's usually what happens.
Again, another great TV show. I've never gotten caught, so I'll just – so that's an excellent answer. So now I'm a small business owner, and I go, holy cow, I need to find somebody. Should they go through an interview process? Should they kind of find a lawyer who's got the breadth to help them? How does someone go around, getting the right lawyer kind of at their beck and call?
So there's a couple different ways that you can do that. Most of the time, what I do as a lawyer, I work off of referrals. People are going to come to me either because they know one of my former clients or existing clients or somebody else out there knows me, and they usually say, hey, go give Chris a call. He's a good guy. Lawyers are broken down into kind of maybe a couple different segments. One of them you have are the big firm attorneys. They're the guys who work downtown Atlanta in the big law firms who charge $500, $600 or more dollars an hour. Who do the big, big deals. They work for the Home Depots and the Coca-Colas and those kinds of things. Those guys do really, really big deals. You have another set of lawyers who are the small general practitioners who are out there, maybe out in Gwinnett County, they're out in Lawrenceville, they're out in Duluth, wherever they might be, and they do similar types of deals, but on a much smaller scale. Now, what I do is kind of in between. My firm, we're a big firm, but I don't work in the big sort of the big tall buildings downtown. I did for a while. I worked 7 years at a big law firm in Atlanta. I got my training down there, but now I'm out here because it's more fun. Down there, you work an awful lot, and you have to travel down there, which is no fun in Atlanta traffic. And so as a business person, when you're looking, you have to sort of say, okay, well, what am I looking for? Do I need a big firm lawyer, or am I okay with trying to have someone out here, or do I need someone in the middle? And it really kind of depends. There's kind of three things I tell business owners to look for. One is competence. Their lawyer that they need, are they competent to be able to do the job that they need them to do? I don't want to hire a real estate lawyer to draft corporate documents. So is that lawyer or that law firm that I'm looking to hire, are they competent? The second factor is going to be cost. Do they fit how much I can afford to pay? Can I afford to pay $500 an hour to a lawyer downtown, or would I rather pay $250 for a lawyer out here? It really just kind of depends on what their budget is. And then The third thing is compatibility. Do I like the guy or the lady? Am I comfortable dealing with that person as my lawyer? Because if that person doesn't return my phone calls, isn't very nice, very short with me, doesn't seem to want to learn my business, I don't really want them as my partner, as my lawyer. So those are really the three sort of things that I tell my clients to look at. It's going to be compatibility, competence, and cost. If you look into those things, then you can find yourself a good lawyer.
I was actually going to recommend that when we got around to my thing. I was going to recommend that for small business owners to definitely have a lawyer. It's been indispensable for what we've done.
Glad to hear that.
So there you go. Let me give you a plug.
I was about to say, we've got some business owners on this side of the table that have been shaking their head the whole time you've been talking, like, okay. Yeah, you're necessary.
Preach it, brother.
There's so many people out there, though, that have companies that just don't seem to recognize the value of an attorney until they get into trouble. Then all of a sudden they love lawyers. But until they get into trouble, they think we're sort of just an unnecessary expense.
Fisher Broyles, it's a wonderful firm. You've talked about it a little bit. There's a lot of corporate attorneys out there, a lot of corporate firms out there. What is it about Fisher Broyles that maybe differentiates you from the others? And you've touched upon some of it so far.
Yeah, one of the big things I think that differentiates Fisher Broyles from the King & Spaldings or the Alston & Byrds or the other big firms downtown are going to be the fact that all of our attorneys, all my partners, used to work at those big firms, but we don't anymore. And the reason we don't is because we recognize that in that environment down in the big firms, it's tough, it's challenging on you personally, it's tough and challenging just from a business, you just work a lot of hours. And it's just not a fun environment, quite honestly. And so what we've done is we formed our firm, and we're all, like I said, all former big firm attorneys. Our billing rates are going to be less because we cut out a lot of the stuff that you see in downtown Atlanta. If you've ever been to a big firm in Atlanta, you're going to see there are collections on the wall. You're going to see a lot of marble. You're going to see a lot of big offices. You're going to see a lot of people running around looking busy. Because those big firms have catering people. They used to. They don't anymore, but they used to have a whole law library and people that worked there. And you have a lot of folks that do data processing and word processing. And so those folks are all expense centers. They cost money. They also have a lot of associates down there, which are baby lawyers that clients pay to train them. And if you go down and you use one of the big law firms, you're probably not getting the partner to do your deal. They're passing it off to an associate. Well, that associate may be at a law school 1 year, 2 years. They're learning while you're paying them to learn. We don't subscribe to that model. We strip out all of that. You're only dealing with the lawyers who do your deals. We don't have art collections. We don't have any marble. We don't have a lot of what we would call expense costs. I mean, we have the accounting people. Everyone needs accounting people. We've got those. But what we don't have are the baby lawyers. What we don't have are our collections. And because of that, our billing rates are going to be less, but you're getting the same person. Because I used to be at Troutman Sanders for 7 years. I still have that knowledge base and that experience. You're just not now paying for it. And we found that to be a really good model, especially in today's economic times. We've had a lot of big companies that have come to us and said, you know, we can't afford to pay $500 an hour, $600 an hour for an attorney. They'll come out to us and pay half.
We're talking with Chris Wilson with Fisher Broyles, one of the partners of the firm. And we talked earlier with Chris Sabby with Van Winkle Construction about how he finds his new business. Is your business a lot of referrals as well, much like Chris's was?
It really is. I mean, really what I look for are making sure my clients are happy. And what I ask them to do is, hey, tell other folks. If you're happy with what I did for you, tell everyone you can tell and then just tell them to call me. And that's usually word of mouth is really the best way to do it, especially for what I do. It's not like I'm going to put up a billboard on 85 saying I'm your transaction lawyer or something.
Or
like
have
that.
Some of those TV commercials we've seen with attorneys.
Have
call me,
TV
call
show.
Me.
Yeah.
Right. It's just not what we do. That's not, again, if you're, let's say you're inside counsel for Home Depot, you're probably not looking for outside counsel by watching, you know, late night television.
Of course, for those companies that may need your services or finally realize, hey, I better, you know, talk to an attorney. How do they reach out to you? How do they find out more about Fisher Broyles?
Best way to do it is to go to our website, which is fisherbroyles.com. That's F-I-S-H-E-R-B-R-O-Y-L-E-S. .com. We just changed our website. Sorry.
As I say, you stuck a C in there.
Yeah, that's our. Yeah, we've been changing it, and so we had a different one before, but that's our new one now. You can go to the website, look me up, Chris Wilson. I'm on there. My cell phone number's on there. My email's on there, which is cwilson@fisherbroyles.com. That's the best way to get in touch.
And coming soon in 2 months, you're going to see Chris Wilson, transaction attorney.
Reality
TV.
Show yeah, on Bravo.
Absolutely. I'm going to go pitch it later today.
So. Thank you.
Yeah, he warns us, oh, this is not exciting stuff, but you made it sound pretty good. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Chris.
Thanks.
You should have had the CSI soundbite on file.
Bing, bing. We're going to edit that into the interview later on. Okay, moving on now. Here's Lynn Duffy with Citigus Software. Lynn, thank you for your patience and for joining us this morning. You are the Vice President of Operations for Citigus. Tell us about your company and what it does.
We are a pretty much full service IT services company. Listening to the first Chris talk, it was kind of interesting to think of the parallels between the services that you provide in construction and the services that we provide in IT. While they seem to be two totally different things, they're really all about services and what kind of people, what kind of teams you build, how you treat your customers, that kind of thing. But we provide ERP services. I spoke to someone the other day, well, I think it was you, Mike, that said, this all sounds like Greek to me, but hopefully the customers that need my services
that
will understand
me.
The lingo.
Let me remind you, Linda, dumb things down on this program just for me. Steven might
gotcha.
Understand. But
no, I'm
gotcha.
With you, Mike. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Please dumb things down. Okay.
So basically ERP services are software, are those packages that do all of what mainly mid to large size companies need for back office. They do your accounting, they do your HR, they do your manufacturing, your inventory control, those kinds of things. And the software packages that we support are companies like Oracle, PeopleSoft, SAP. We also do a lot of business intelligence services. Business intelligence, surely you get that, Mike. It means you want to be intelligent about your business.
She's giving me way too much credit.
Wow, that was such an easy one I was going to knock out of the park, but please go on.
Yeah. It's about your data. It's about helping you become more knowledgeable about your competition so that you can know how not only to survive in today's world, but how to project out to your future of where you need to be in terms of competing with the people that do services similar to yours or sell products similar to yours. And there are a lot of different software packages that support business analytics, business intelligence, and we're very blessed to have the resources that can do all of those particular services. In addition to that, a lot of our customers have come to us over the years and said, we need you to create this piece of software for us. You know, we don't really care what you develop it in, Java, .NET, those are common technologies today. Can you do that for us? And yes, we do that for them. If we can acquire the types of talent that we need to provide the service, then we will provide it. Another area that we excel in our offshore lab in India, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, is database management. We support both Oracle and SQL Server database environments, and we've got great well-certified teams that handle those for our customers, our large customers from offshore, and it works quite well. It's a cost-effective solution as well.
Explain and talk to us about some of the types of clients that you actually work with.
We have a fairly wide variety of clientele. And initially, we focused on specific industries, but obviously, as a small startup company, when someone knocked on our door and said, we'd like to talk, we didn't shut the door. So we are quite diversified. We've got healthcare clients. We have communications clients, a very large cable client that you would know. We have supported city governments. We don't do quite as much in public sector because we tend to our best cost model is a combination of on-site work here in the U.S. with some offshore help in out of our India lab. And for that reason, some of the constituencies are not very happy with their leadership if they put anything offshore. So we don't work as much, but so many small governments have really, really struggled with their budgets over the last few years. And so they have finally said to their constituency, we need help that's cost effective and high quality. And so we have kind of gotten into that market a little bit more so as well.
Talk a little bit more, because you said you want to talk about it, and I want to kind of go in that direction as well, the offshore work that you do. There's, you know, some, the perspective on that sometimes is not very positive.
Right.
But you feel it's necessary, and it's not as bad as some people seem to think it is. Talk about how you use it and why it is so beneficial.
Sure. You know, some years back, probably 10, 15 years ago, there was sort of an initiative in the United States to drive down development costs. So many of the large software providers started using offshore companies, India, China, Philippines, different places to obtain cheaper labor, basically, and achieve the same end result. Because so many companies went at it in, let's just say, a lower quality manner than what most of us would like to see, the results were not always really good. The products were lacking many times, whether it was a trinket or a piece of IT software. And so as time has gone on and we've learned a lot of lessons, we specifically at Citigas have certainly, having worked, most of us came from an Oracle background. We all have software development experience as well as consulting services experience. So we realized that unless you went after the top talent in any of those markets that you chose to do it in, you would be a failure. You would not succeed. And so what we've done is really work hard to mimic some of the U.S.-based companies that we've worked for, and we have probably the highest retention of any company I know of in India because we have modeled the way we treat our employees after many of the good companies we've worked for here. We have excellent leadership in India that all spent time working for corporations here in the U.S. and went back to India to manage this lab for us, and they only attract the best talent. So one of the things that we like to say about our company, and again, this kind of mimics something Chris said earlier, is we are small enough to offer quality and care about our almost said our patients because I was talking about healthcare. We are large enough to offer quality and small enough to care about the results. So if you talk to any of our customers, we're not nearly as old as Chris's company, but we have never had any kind of claim brought against us at all, and we have 100% referenceable clients, I can honestly say, who will talk to our, you know, new upcoming customers and reassure them about our integrity and our level of quality of service. So I guess that's what sets us apart.
That's wonderful.
So, Lynn, I have a confession to start this question off with. When someone says IT, my eyes glaze over because it's just this large, huge universe.
No reality show?
Well, man, I like it. Okay. We can talk about that later.
Ranks up there with transactional lawyers.
Yeah, I need at least more than one pitch. So when it comes to IT, it's sometimes to some business owners, it might be a large thing that they definitely say, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, so, hey, I don't hear of any major problems, so let's just keep going the way we're going. It sounds like you guys definitely handle the service, but you also handle some creation. You also handle some outsourcing and just kind of bring the whole package together to help a business owner. If I'm a business owner, what should I be looking at in my IT that could be improved by talking to someone like you?
Well, first of all, some of it is driven by the current software vendors. Most large companies today use a lot of, you know, prepackaged software. They don't any longer just go develop their big payroll systems and their big accounting systems. They tend to buy a package from an SAP or an Oracle. And when they do that, those companies are smart, and they want you to have to continue to upgrade your software. So typically support for a given software package will expire after a year or two. And so it kind of forces customers to continue to upgrade. We do tons of upgrades, so we have a lot of upgrade expertise. So if someone is looking to bring their software current, we're a good group for them to call. Of course, there are lots of other vendors out there they can call as well, but that is one reason that you would definitely need the help of an IT services company. In this most, you know, last few years in this current economy, what I've seen is that a lot of customers have put off doing upgrades as long as they could. So many of them are far behind right now. And they focused more on business analytics. You know, how do I stay in business? How do I learn more about my competition? So we've actually been doing quite a lot in our, we actually grew our business analytics, our business intelligence practice because of that need. We try really hard to look for the needs that the customers have, look for their areas of pain, where they feel like they need the most help, and then go after, you know, those kinds of solutions for them to help them grow.
It also sounds like you do a lot more listening maybe than some of your competition, in that you sit down with the client, okay, what are you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish? And then help them accomplish that, rather than just come in and go, we're here to upgrade, boom, plug it in, see you later. Do you find a little bit more consultative to your practice?
Absolutely. Good point, and I thank you
for it.
We are very much about relationships. And we believe that it's more important to have a relationship with a client where we can be assured that they really do need our service. We don't really want to insert ourselves into a client environment that doesn't want to work with offshore, for example, or doesn't want a particular piece of advice. There are those people that want advice and those people that don't. And so we really work hard to build relationships so that we do have a more consultative sort of experience with our client.
How do you go to market and how do you find the new business to keep your business doing well?
The $6 million question.
Yes, and we've all talked, the common theme today has been relationships and referrals, so I'm sure you get referrals as well, so I'm sure that's a big part of it.
We do get some referrals, but in our industry, and I've been in the IT world for a long time, so it's kind of like I can make a blonde reference because I'm blonde. So I can make an IT reference because I'm IT. IT people tend to not get out a lot. And so it's not like they're going to, I mean, they go out and they socialize, but it's not like they're going to be at a social event and they're going to all of a sudden, a conversation is going to come up about IT services. What, you know, do you need some IT services? I can see it coming up more about, you know, legal advice, things like that. But so it's not that our customers don't want to give us references. It's just, I think it just doesn't come up a lot. And I said the wrong word, referrals. References our customers are fantastic about. So once we carry through or execute on our go-to-market plans and we identify some potential new clients to talk with, it gets down to close enough to closing the business, all of our clients will step forward and be a reference for us, which really, really helps. Because they can speak to not only our skills and the way that we have accomplished their needs, but they can also speak to our level of service and the way that we will go about making things right. No engagement is perfect, but what our customers like about us is we work through the difficulties and the end result is always in their favor.
Since Lynn has opened the door, I'd love to make some IT jokes right now, but I'm going to shy away from doing just that. Lynn, talk about where is your business? I mean, do you have to your companies have to be around where your offices are, or can you be anywhere nationally or even internationally? How far does your business reach?
Our business is
beach and patience.
We like working at the beach. Our business is actually 100% global. We can do almost any work for a client virtually from any location. We're headquartered in Bangalore, India, and we have our U.S. headquarters here in Duluth, right here in this building. We do some off-site work here. We have some consultants who might do off-site work from their home in the U.S. We do on-site work when a client requests that it be on-site, or if there's a business need that we believe needs to be handled on-site. And then we do probably, I would say, 60% of our actual work that we do for a client, even in the U.S., is done from our India lab. And just one thing I'd like to say about that, sort of in answer to your question a few minutes ago, again, with this economy and the you know, so many people not working, I actually struggled myself with, okay, how do I justify this in my own head? And I would like to just share one story. One of our clients that we had, a utility company, really, really needed some serious IT work done. And they could not afford the big guys that came in to, you know, do all the bids and everything. And so I partnered with a local U.S. company who's all based in the U.S. and who is also a smaller consulting firm but offers very good services similar to ours. And by using a combination of their on-site team and our offshore team, we were able to reduce the price tag on this particular project somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million. They were able to get everything they needed delivered in the time frame that they needed. It put U.S. people to work that might not have had a project to work on in combination with some of our guys in India. So I really believe that it is truly a win-win solution, especially in this economy when everybody needs to control costs. Now, offshore costs are going up because India is getting smart. You know, they're a big commodity for us here. So is China. So it's maybe not as cost effective as it was 15 years ago, but the quality is higher and the cost is still much lower than if we did it 100% here.
Lynn Duffy with Citigus Software. And Lynn, you mentioned earlier you've been doing this for quite some time now. What do you enjoy most about what you do?
Meeting new people and spending time understanding their business, what their needs are, what makes them tick, and how we can help them achieve all the success they want to achieve.
And those business leaders out there that are listening right now, how would they find out about you if they want to find out more about your services? How would they get in touch with you?
Well, our website is citagus.com, C-I-T-A-G-U-S. The best way to reach me, because I travel quite a bit, is on my cell phone, and that is 404-226-6225. And we also have, of course, sales emails and things listed on the website that will get to me. So we appreciate your interest.
All right, Lynn, thank you so much for showing up today and appearing on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you, Mike.
And we will save the IT jokes for after the show, Stephen.
We go off the air. Well, you're the one who wanted to do them, so.
Well, she said they're still in the basement, you know, people in their mom's basement and things like that. Wait, she didn't say that, did she?
No, she didn't. Okay. But at networking parties, we know that they're great, so.
We'll talk off the air. Thanks again, Lynn. Joining us now is Dave Hudson. He's with Inside Edge Hockey. That is a full-service retail store and pro shop here in the Duluth area. Dave. A hockey shop in Georgia.
Indeed.
What the heck are you doing?
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Well, the sport of hockey has grown considerably over the years, especially since the Thrashers came to town. You may remember them as they moved away right after we opened. Yay.
Timing is everything.
Timing is, in fact, everything. But the decade that they were here, they really grew the sport of hockey. There's currently somewhere around 5,000 players in this area. And we're here to service those little guys. It's the funnest sport there is, you know, especially if your kid is one of those that picks at the grasshoppers in the outfield, and as my son once was, and once he went to hockey, he fell in love with it, and so did I. Back in the day, I actually know Van Winkle well. I come from an engineering and surveying firm. I worked there for nearly 15 years, and once, you know, the dreaded economy went where it went, I went into hockey. I thought it would be fun to do something fun, and here we are today.
You had to bring up the economy. We promised Chris Abbey we were not going to bring up the dreaded economy.
I know I was going to ask him, but both you guys kind of were like,
no.
Sounds like you found something fun to do, though.
If you find
something you love, you never have to work a day in your life, they say.
Absolutely. It's been a fun ride.
And you've been around for how long now? How long has the store been around?
As of a week ago. It's been 2 solid years. So
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You must have had a lot of concerns, and we're scared, obviously, going in, especially not only your own business, but something that's really a niche sport here in Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely. There was certainly, especially looking back on it, I'm like, wow, that was grossly irresponsible. How do we pull that off? back to the lawyer thing, but we'll skip all that. It did. There were some certain concerns, again, hockey in Georgia. And when we opened the doors, it was one of those, well, we have to open the doors, tomorrow. You know, we've got to get this thing going. But, yeah, it panned out pretty well.
So. And as far as dealing with the sport of hockey, is it just ice hockey, or do you also do other parts of the sport as well?
We do. This is actually pretty interesting. With small business, it's interesting where it takes you, you know, what little avenues. As with most small business people, I mean, they're tinkerers by nature. We do ice hockey primarily, but there's also inline, which is huge. And there's also, we've been getting roller derby people.
Really?
Absolutely. It's you know, a string of interesting people those guys are. But as you might imagine, they get concussions. And so they're donning their bike helmets in favor of hockey helmets. You know, we do get hit occasionally. It's been known to happen. Lose a tooth.
Is there roller derby going on around here somewhere?
There are. There's lots of roller derby going around. I'm not the expert on it just yet. But
are you allowed to share locations for some of our listeners who wouldn't want to admit that?
Well, I wish I had that to give to you. That was a question from left field. I should have been prepared.
Sorry, my
or
bad.
Teams. I remember the Thunderbirds was a team playing roller hockey on TV many years ago.
That's right. Roller Derby. That's right. My son actually plays for Brookwood High School to this day. But yeah, we do inline, and then there's floor hockey as well.
Okay.
Why you would want to run and not skate is beyond me. Lord, that's exercise. But hey, there you go.
I'm you know, not amazed that you're successful. I think it's wonderful. But I read some of the notes here about your business model. And I'm amazed that you are still in business, and maybe we need an attorney to kind of change some of the things here. According to your business model, Dave, the customer is always wrong.
Absolutely. It's a recipe for failure. But if you think about it, and that was noted with a smiley face, I might add, it's Georgia, and a lot of people can get sticker shock here in Georgia. Hockey is an expensive sport, like golf. I mean, if you tell someone a golf club can be $500, it's the same thing with, say, a hockey stick that can be $250 or $300, and you have to kind of explain that, especially to someone who's new to it. You get a lot of that here in Georgia. So we kind of go under the assumption that people who walk through our doors don't necessarily know what they're in for, so it's our job to educate them from being wrong to right. That's all it is. And so we try to do honest business and not sell them the $800 skate, but let's get them in the cheaper products and get the kid hooked on the sport first.
So you're saying would be the customer is always wrong at first,
at
and then
first.
Your job is to help them be right.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
You're going up against a lot of things, and we keep throwing all these, you know, bricks and mortar at you and stuff, but you know,
you're a great business consultant, Mike, right?
Yes,
now.
I'm throwing
job.
All the negative things at him and why his business should not succeed, yet he's succeeding. But you mentioned the NHL team, the Thrashers, moving away. Right now, the NHL's there's a lockout, so there's not even hockey games on TV to help grow the sport. So how is that affecting you guys?
It's a recipe for disaster. I mean, we were open, 3 months, our team leaves, and then this season, there's not even a season. You know,
but kids keep playing, don't they?
Kids do keep playing. It's kind of like lacrosse. There's not a pro lacrosse team here. However, that sport continues to grow, and that's what we hope for. You would probably be surprised to find out that most high schools, most middle schools of any size do have ice hockey programs here. And that's one thing that you didn't find 10 or 15 years ago. So we hope that that trend continues, you know, from the ground up.
What has so obviously the growth in the sport, it was because of the Thrashers at first, but
sure.
It's continuing now. Why would you say are some of the reasons that, besides the fact that Inside Edge is the greatest hockey, you know, shop in the world?
Absolutely.
What other reasons would people have of why the sport is growing? What would you say?
Well, like any small business, word of mouth, and that sort of thing. When one kid tells another, and the Gladiators are still here, our minor team, and they are an NHL affiliate, I believe, to Arizona. So there's still outlets for children to be involved, and actually, high definition has helped a lot, too. It makes it with the bigger TVs, and you can actually see the puck move. It's a much more exciting sport to watch on TV. You hear all the time, well, I saw it live, but TV, you know. So you might want to retry it on your big 60-inch, you know.
Nice.
Is your biggest competition the other sports that kids play, or is your biggest competition the Internet? Because a lot of folks, I think, before you were around, would just buy their equipment off the Internet.
Yeah, the Internet is both a blessing and a scourge of business, and I think that – I don't know that that really applies to you guys, but for
– Be careful. You're sitting next to an IT person.
IT, yeah.
Well, people will tend to go online and buy whatever is on sale or whatever, that sort of thing, and it kind of ties back into the customer is always wrong. Boy, I really got to redo that tagline. But sometimes it's not the best way to go. Sometimes it's our job to educate them. Maybe the cheapest thing online isn't the way to go. So rather than try to battle against the internet, we're actually trying to figure out ways to work with it. If we can't get you what, you know, your child needs, we will show you an avenue that you can. And later in the year, actually, we're going to offer online sales as well. So that's one way that we've decided to expand our business. So.
Apart from the equipment, what else? You guys are a full-service shop. What mm-hmm. are some of the things? So I'm someone who's playing in a hockey league. What are some of the things, or my kids playing, what are some of the things you guys offer that I can't get on the internet or that I need because you're located right next to the ice forum?
Absolutely. Hockey requires lots and lots of maintenance. Lots of skate sharpenings, skates break, sticks break. We're there to fix all that sort of stuff and keep you on the ice.
I hope this is not a dumb question, and I don't want to, you know, promote your competitors right now, but are there other hockey shops in the Atlanta area?
No.
Sorry. Yes, there actually are. You can find them at most ice rinks, and there is another hockey shop, I believe, over in Alpharetta. We're few and far between, though. The business model doesn't exactly work amongst the marble-clad towers of Atlanta, which is actually where I used to work, by the way. But, you know, there are other ones. But, you know, being right across from a prominent ice rink does definitely help.
That's a location is very important.
And you're the only one in Gwinnett County.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going from here? I mean, 5 years from now, are we going to have Inside Edge hockey shops all over the metro area?
It could very well happen. We're looking at two or three other locations now. Maybe not necessarily around Atlanta. There's only room for one awesome shop here in Gwinnett. But we're looking at other states and other towns, you know.
Mike, I'd like to jump in and just kind of give a quick plug. It's funny, as Dave told his story, his timing was impeccable as far as starting the shop. But I think one of the things that all small business owners would agree is when you do a good job, that's one of the best ways to stay in business. And I know a few of Dave's clients. We've actually had a couple of guests on the show off the air have talked about going in there. When you do a good job and in the area of maintenance and in the area of knowledge and in the area of just looking to help customers, you know, that's what Inside Edge is known for around here.
And I think something that Lynn spoke upon in the IT field, a lot of folks don't really socialize and talk about it. Hockey players are a really close click, if you will, that they will say, listen, you need to go check out this place or that place. And hockey players do like to talk because there's not a whole lot of them. And I don't know if you feel special or
band
whatever.
Band of brothers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that's a good thing. You are really a band of brothers.
Well, these kids are actually fairly – they're – absolutely amazing. They play the sport. They get out of school on Friday. They fly to Canada. They play all weekend. They fly home. Then they're back to Boston. And those kids grow together. And I really respect that kind of drive and passion. And to be able to service those amazing people, you know, in so far as feedback, it's almost instantaneous. You know, you get a good referral. They literally run across. And then you see two more people show up almost instantly that day. And you're like, hey, that's awesome. So you get an immediate payoff, you know, whereas you're waiting for a bid for something that you did a year ago. So that's kind of cool.
One other quick plug to let you do. You play yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
And any quick plug for your team?
The Ice Zombies. We're a formidable men's team.
Thank you, Stephen. Tell us where your shop is located. Give us all the contact information, how to get there, where you're located, and if we want to find out more online, where would we go?
Sure. You would go to InsideEdgeATL.com. We are at 2148 Duluth Highway. We're Suite 15 or 115, and we're directly across from the Ice Forum. They used to be home to the Atlanta Thrashers. So there you go.
And you're right next to that Planet Smoothie?
Right next to the Planet Smoothie. Pick up one while you're there. Maybe two.
Dave, thank you so much for your time today. Thank we you. Appreciate you having me on. Dave Hudson from Inside Edge Hockey. And we want to thank all of our guests today. Lynn Duffy from Citigus, Chris Wilson from Fisher Broyles, and Chris Abbey from Van Winkle Construction. Thanks to everybody for appearing today on Gwinnett Business Radio. Quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio airs brand new live shows every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, and that our program can be heard several times a day, not only on the Gwinnett station, but on all of the Business Radio X stations throughout Atlanta. And, of course, you can listen to us and Stephen's funny jokes and any of our programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian and his wonderful jokes, this is Mike Salmon, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.